Absalom, the rebellious prince.
Now David had sinned against the Lord by having Uriah the Hittite killed, so that he could cover up his sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Then the Lord, through Nathan the prophet, said to David,
"The sword of trouble and sorrow and death shall never depart from your house. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house."
David fully repented of his sin and was assured of God's love and forgiveness. Yet he experienced bitter trouble within his own house all the rest of his life. The first sorrow to come to David as a consequence of his sin was the death of his baby son, born him of Bathsheba. The second sorrow which came to the royal family involved three other children of David's: Amnon, his oldest son, Tamar, a beautiful half-sister of Amnon's, and her brother, Absalom. Now Amnon had done a great wrong to Tamar, and because David could not bring himself to punish Amnon, Absalom began to hate his half-brother with a deadly hate. One day, when Absalom had him in his power, he had Amnon put to death. Then did Absalom flee for his life to the kingdom of Geshur, ruled over by King Talmai.
"Your Majesty, there's a young man seeking an audience who claims to be your grandson."
"My grandson?"
"Yes, sire. Says his name is Absalom, Prince Absalom, son of David, king of Israel."
"Well, I have a grandson by that name who is prince in Israel. But what's he doing here? I wasn't notified that he was coming."
"Shall I show him in, your Majesty?"
"Of course. No. Show him to the royal suite in the palace. I'll see him there as soon as I dismiss the court. See that he is properly entertained until I get there."
"Yes, your Majesty."
Well, imagine that. You, my grandson, here in Geshur. You should have notified me of your coming. I would have had you met and escorted in a manner which befits a prince of Israel."
"I didn't know I was coming. Came on the spur of the moment."
Ran away, perhaps?"
"Ah, my grandfather the king is very discerning."
"Then you did run away?"
"Yes, from the wrath of my father the king."
"I gather that you must have done something to arouse his wrath."
"I killed a poisonous snake."
"What are you talking about?"
"My wicked half-brother, Amnon."
"Why do you refer to him as a poisonous snake?"
"He shamed my sister Tamar. Disgraced her for life."
"My granddaughter?"
"Yes, sire."
"When did this evil take place?"
"A little over 2 years ago."
"Then why did you wait so long to take revenge?"
"I had to wait until I had him in my power. I planned and plotted his death for months, never once letting anyone else know my true intention."
"Well, you did right in revenging the wrong of my granddaughter. Welcome to Geshur."
"Thank you, my grandfather. I assume that I have the full protection of your army and His Majesty's personal goodwill."
"You're my grandson, a member of the royal family of Geshur. You will be treated accordingly."
"Joab, why are you just sitting there staring out the window with that perplexed look on your face?"
I was thinking."
"Oh, I knew it. How long will you be gone this time?"
"I was thinking of my lord the king. How sad he is over the absence of Absalom."
"Have they discovered where he is?"
"Months ago. Over 2 years, in fact. He's with his grandfather, King Talmai of Geshur."
"So you plan to go to Geshur and force Absalom to return?"
"No. But I am trying to think of some peaceful way to get Absalom back home to Jerusalem, so the king will be reasonably happy again."
"My husband is a soldier, not a diplomat."
"I am anything and everything to His Majesty the king. His well-being is my chief concern. I think I know how I can effect a reconciliation between Prince Absalom and the king. Yes, at least it's worth a try."
"The next case for your consideration and judgment, O king, is a widow woman from Tekoa. She is dressed in mourning. Apparently she has long mourned for the dead."
"I will hear her case."
"You may come forward, madam."
"Long live the king. Help me, O king, help me. I am a widow, for my husband is dead. I had two sons, But they strove together in the field where there was no one to separate them. One smote the other that he died. And behold, O king, my entire family is against me. They demand that I deliver to them the son that smote the other, so that they may take his life in payment for the life of the son he slew. If they take the life of this, my last son, they will destroy the heir also, and so shall they quench my coal which is left, and shall leave my husband neither name nor reminder upon the earth.
Return to your home, madam, and I shall give charge concerning you and the protection of your son.
My lord, the king promises my son protection. Yet, O king, if there be blood guilt, let it rest upon me and my house, and not upon the king and his throne.
Whosoever says anything against you, bring him to me, and he shall not so much as touch you any more.
I pray you, O king, to remember the Lord your God, and not let the avengers of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my only remaining son.
As the Lord lives, there shall not one hair of your son's head fall to the earth.
May I say one more word unto my lord the king?
Say on.
My lord the king has given a verdict in favor of my son, who, because he did slay my other son, is worthy of death under the laws of Moses. Why then, O king, do you not do the same in the case of your son, Absalom, whom you have banished? If it be right for you to give a verdict to protect my only son, why then, O king, is it not right to grant a reprieve to your son, Absalom, too, who also is a murderer and worthy of death? Is he not the heir apparent to the throne of Israel? Therefore, O king, he belongs to the people, and they to him. If it be not right that I be deprived of mine only son and heir, so it is not right that Israel be deprived of their heir. In pronouncing a verdict in favor of my son, you have pronounced yourself guilty in not extending royal invitation to your son to return.
I am well aware of the fact that my son is anxious to return home. Even the royal household would welcome him back. But Absalom has sinned. He spilled the blood of Amnon, and therefore must be punished.
A harsh treatment of Absalom cannot bring Amnon back from the dead. His blood has been spilt on the ground and cannot be gathered again. Then why not forget the past, O king, and restore Absalom to his home and kindred, and to his rightful position as a prince of Israel? His majesty the king has himself grievously sinned and has stood in the need of mercy. It is only because of the great mercy of heaven that the king is still alive and remains on the throne of Israel.
Yes, yes, these things are true.
My lord the king has heard my plea and judged kindly in the matter of my only remaining son. Now, therefore, O king, I fear not to speak to you of this matter which lies upon my heart. For as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore, O king, judge in the matter of your banished son, and may the Lord God be with thee.
I want to ask you one question.
Yes, your majesty.
You'll not withhold the truth from me.
Let the Lord my king ask, and I shall give him an answer of truth.
I perceive that you told this parable about the two sons, that I might be moved to return my son Absalom to Jerusalem. You spoke wisely and with just intent. Tell me, is not my nephew General Joab behind all of this?
My lord the king is wise according to the wisdom of an angel, for he knows all things. No one can turn to the right or to the left without his majesty perceiving it. It is true, my lord. Joab did instruct me in this matter. He put all these words into my mouth, that the banished Absalom may be returned to his rightful place in the royal family, in the hearts and affairs of Israel.
You have done me great favor in that you have made me see the folly of my ways. Go. And may the blessing of God be upon you.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
And David called Joab and commissioned him to bring the young man Absalom.
Long live the king.
Oh, greetings, Joab. You've just returned from Geisha?
Yes, your majesty.
You brought my son Absalom with you?
He awaits even now in the outer court for an audience with his father and king.
Audience refused.
His majesty refuses an audience to his own son?
Absalom murdered his brother. For the sake of Absalom himself and the nation, I feel it necessary to show my abhorrence of such a crime. Absalom shall go to his own house and without seeing my face.
As his majesty wills. Long live the king.
It just isn't fair. I'm the crown prince, yet I'm not allowed in the throne room. I can't even see my father, the king. And I'm not permitted to attend court or any function of court or the royal family. I'm an outcast in my own home, my city, my country. Well, this has gone on now for almost 2 years, and I'm sick and tired of it.
Seems terrible, I know. Yet perhaps it isn't as terrible as it seems.
Are you on the king's side, too?
No. You're my husband, and I'm on your side. Just be patient with me until you hear what I have to say. I was in the marketplace this morning and heard much talk. In fact, I have been hearing it for weeks now.
Yes, I can imagine. Absalom did murder his brother and deserves every punishment the king has heaped upon him. And my wife listens to such gossip.
But that isn't at all what the people are saying.
They're saying that I deserve to die, probably.
Oh, no, not at all. They're on your side.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They are. They're sympathetic with you. They praise you for killing Amnon as an act of right and justice. You're their hero, not a criminal.
You hear these things in the marketplace?
More and more people are saying this every day, with more conviction.
Or perhaps there is still a chance for me to become king of Israel.
With your kingly bearing and qualities of leadership, you can gain for yourself any position you desire.
Yes, I will. I'll appear more in public places. I'll be sympathetic with the people. Friendly, smiling. I'll win them completely to my side.
Long live Absalom, king of all Israel.
Now, don't be too sure I can do it, my dear. It will take a lot of planning and work and wise manipulation to unseat David and take the throne to myself.
But you can do it, Absalom, my dear.
The first act in my campaign to win the people and unseat the king will be to use General Joab to gain an audience with my father, the king. Slave!
Yes, master.
Go quickly to the home of General Joab. He will be there. Tell him to come here to see me at once.
Go to Prince Absalom's home to see him? Me? Well, he hasn't the right to order me to do anything. Tell him that I refuse to do his bidding.
So he refused, did he? Well, you go right back there and tell the general that I am the crown prince and demand his presence. Immediately.
Oh, I refuse even to listen to his demands. I ignore them completely. Tell him that.
Still refuses, does he? Well, I'll take care of that. See that field of barley? Well, that belongs to the general. Go quickly and set it on fire.
Yes, master. It's a shame and a crime to set this barley field on fire, but I must obey my master.
Joab, our barley field's on fire.
What?
Absalom's servants set it afire. I saw them.
Oh, I suppose I had better go see him before he causes more trouble. He's a determined prince and unscrupulous. Now, what's the idea? Your servant setting my field of barley on fire.
I sent for you 2 times. But you ignored my request.
Now that I'm here, what do you want?
I want you to go before my father, the king. Ask him why he sent and had me brought from Geisha. Unless I see his face and am accepted as one of the princes of Israel, one of his sons, it would have been better had I remained in Geisha.
You killed Amnon, your brother. Your father, the king, is punishing you.
He killed Uriah, the Hittite, as surely as I killed Amnon. If my deed be more of an iniquity than his, then let him kill me.
His majesty will have no answer to that.
Then you will see him and request that I be accepted as a son and heir to the crown?
I have no choice. Neither will His Majesty.
Long live the king!
Come forward, my son, that I may embrace you and welcome you back. How long and eagerly have I waited for this moment. You're back. I have a son again.
It is good to be back, father. And rest assured that I shall be an obedient and upright son and prince. One that you can be justly proud of.
And he believed you?
I have him completely fooled. And now I shall begin in earnest the happy task of winning the people to my side, making them even think of me as their king. Alienate them from my father David until, finally, they will dethrone him and demand that I be their king.
If my handsome husband decides to do it, he can and will.
Of that you can be sure, my dear. And I shall begin by mingling with the common people as they come to the city gate for mercy and justice. I shall convince them that only through me can they obtain justice. My name is Absalom, sir. I'm the crown prince. You are here with a grievance, hoping to see the king and get a just settlement?
Greetings, Prince Absalom.
What is your complaint, sir?
Well, your highness, my taxes seem just a little high.
From what city and tribe are you from?
The city of Ekron, of the tribe of Dan, your highness.
Ah, no wonder you complain. Your taxes are too high, far too high. But there is no man here deputed by the king to hear your complaint. Oh, if only I were made judge in the land. Every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.
I wish you were king.
Do I have a complaint? Well, I'll say I do. But there's never anyone here to hear me or to mete out justice. Oh, the king's too busy with personal matters to be bothered with us common people. I say something should be done about it right away, or Israel is going to lose out and disintegrate.
You're absolutely right, madam.
Am I? I am. Of course I am. I'm always right. Most people call me a gossipy old maid. You're the first one who ever agreed with me. Why?
Give me your hand, madam, and I'll show you why.
Oh, you kissed my hand.
Yes, because I agree with you and sympathize.
Oh,
would that I could be made judge in the land. I would deal out mercy and justice.
Oh, I wish you were king. I tell you, Sarah, that the crown prince is the handsomest man I ever saw in my life. And he kissed my hand. My hand! And he's so understanding and sympathetic, along with his winsome smile and handsome face and features. Oh, I wish he were king. Oh, my, what a wonderful place Israel would be with him as king. Oh, we'd have true justice and prosperity. All the nations around about would fear and respect us. Why, we'd be the envy of the world.
Doesn't your father see through all this?
Don't all parents think their own children are just about perfect? Well, my father is no exception. He thinks I'm doing all this as an expression of appreciation that he has restored me to my former position. I'm doing it for the glory of Israel and his benefit, he thinks.
Come right down to it, though, Absalom, my dear. What is it getting you? The 50 men who run before your chariot? The acclaim you get wherever you go? How is this going to put you on the throne of Israel until your father dies? Then, as the crown prince, you'd be king anyway.
I don't intend to wait for father's death before taking over the crown of Israel. At least, his natural death.
You plan an insurrection?
Insurrection, rebellion, uprising, anything you wish to call it.
You'd kill your own father?
Power, my dear, is not achieved by being soft. It takes strength of purpose, unscrupulous nerve, and an absolute disregard for the lives, rights, and wishes of others.
These you have. There's no questioning that. Still in all, your father, the king, will have mighty men and valiant soldiers on his side. What if you lose?
That's a chance I have to take. But I doubt I'll lose. Why do you think I've been kissing and greeting these people at the city gate? The people are flocking to my banner by the thousands. I am literally stealing the hearts of the people of Israel.
Callers, you expecting someone?
I most certainly am. Tonight begins the downfall of David's reign as king of Israel and my ascension to the throne. We make plans tonight for the final phase of my rebellion. Well, let him in.
Good evening, Lady Absalom.
Come in.
Greetings, Your Highness, Crown Prince and soon to be King of Israel.
You're alone?
I thought best that as few as possible know your full plans.
Wise thinking.
Shall I leave?
Stay or leave. You will soon be queen, so do what you wish. Now then, how many men do you have that you can trust implicitly?
Several hundred, with a wide variety of talents. Young men and old, spies, diplomats, messengers, priests. Plenty, Your Highness, to successfully accomplish this particular mission.
Have they been fully instructed?
Only as much as each need know in the accomplishment of his particular duty. They know that they are to incite the people to discontent with King David and artfully suggest that you be king.
Now, send this small army of spies to their stations throughout all the 12 tribes. They are to concentrate on the elders and priests as leaders of the tribes, but on the other hand, never underestimate the power and influence of the common man. In the meantime, I shall move my headquarters to Hebron.
Each man is already at his post of duty, Your Highness. They await only word by messenger to begin their activities.
Good. Now keep me informed of their progress, and at the right moment we shall strike. When that time comes, there will be the sound of trumpets throughout all Israel.
Yes, Your Highness. It shall be done today. May His Highness live forever.
Now, my dear, what do you think of your husband?
You are very wise and crafty. I'm sure you'll soon be king of Israel.
You like my plans?
Especially the transferring of your headquarters to Hebron.
That intrigues you?
Very much.
Why?
I'm sure my husband realizes the wisdom of such a move. First, it is the place of your birth. What better place for your success? Next, it was David's first capital. I'm sure that many of the inhabitants of Hebron are still miffed that the capital was transferred to Jerusalem. But isn't it also the home of Ahithophel, David's chief wise man and counselor?
He lives a few miles from Hebron, yes. And as you say, he is David's chief counselor. But he is also Bathsheba's grandfather. And being Bathsheba's grandfather, he is very apt to be sorely displeased with the way David treated Bathsheba. What he did to her. And Uriah.
And you believe he can be won over?
At least it's worth a try, at the proper time. There is much work to be done first, however, if my plea to Ahithophel is to carry weight and conviction.
And how will this be accomplished?
I plan to take advantage of Israel's emphasis on religion.
Does my husband care to explain those plans to his wife?
Well, my dear, tomorrow I make one of my few, though royal, appearances at Father's court. I'm going to make a very touching and eloquent speech. Father will be impressed. So will the members of his court. And I will have won the first round in my fight to gain the crown of Israel.
I'd love to hear that speech.
My son Absalom, it is a welcome sight to see you again in my court. Will you have a seat here at my right hand?
Thank you, my father. But I came to court for a special purpose. I wish to publicly thank you for all that you have done for me. In the hearing of the members of your court, I wish to voice my thanks and make a special request.
You certainly have my permission, my son. Scribe, my son wishes to say something in the hearing of the court.
Yes, your majesty.
Hear ye, ye members of the royal court of Israel. Absalom, prince royal and heir apparent to the throne of Israel, wishes your attention.
Your Majesty, I wish, in the hearing of this thy court, to confess to the great crime I committed against Amnon. It was a crime worthy of death. Instead of death, I have been forgiven. I have been brought back from self-banishment in Geshur, and am again in favor with you, my father, and with the people of Israel. This generous, forgiving spirit of my father and of the people of Israel is living proof that Israel and your king
believes in, worships, and obeys the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In this same spirit of reverence for things holy, I come to court this day to make a special request. While I abode in Geshur as a fugitive, I made a sacred vow unto God, saying, O Lord, if thou wilt cause my father the king to forgive me, and bring me again into his presence and favor at Jerusalem, I shall serve thee, O Lord, and make special offerings unto thee at Hebron. Therefore, king, I pray thee, let me go to Hebron and pay my sacred vow. Let me make special sacrifices and offerings unto the Lord our God.
Oh, my son, go to Hebron and pay your vow, and my blessings go with thee.
His Highness sent for me?
I did, General Joab. You were in court today?
Yes, Your Highness. And I must admit that... Well, lately I have doubted your sincerity. I had a feeling that you were working against your father, the king. But now I know I was wrong. I beg His Highness to forgive me.
You've been with father a long time, close to him. And it's only natural that you think evil of anyone who is in a position to usurp the throne. I forgive you, Joab. The important thing now is that I need your help. To do justice to the dignity of father's court, I want 200 of the best and most influential men in my father's court.
Does His Highness want soldiers, his bodyguards, or what?
Soldiers, statesmen, wise men, counselors, men of influence. They are to go along merely as assurance that my father's interests and honor are protected.
His Highness is very thoughtful. 200 of the court's most renowned and important men shall be ready to go at the command of His Highness.
Thank you, Joab. You may go now.
Good day to His Highness.
What do you think of my plan now?
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Foolproof. It can't fail.
What did you think of my speech in court this morning?
It was very convincing. Your father believed every word you said.
Of course he did. That was the whole idea. He hasn't the slightest idea of my real feelings and plans. He's going to get the surprise of his life.
Yes.